Welcome, everybody. This is MLB.com Extras, Detroit Tigers edition. My name is Anthony Cashman. I'm joined by Phil Rogers. And talking about a Tigers team that had a somewhat strange season. Started out basically unbeatable. Started out 27-12, then went on a 9-20 stretch. So really two different teams in those two stretches for Brad Ausmus in his first season at the helm. Phil, I know you've seen this team quite a bit already this year. What do you make of them?
Well, I mean, this has definitely been a different Tigers team, one that it's been a lot more about the depth than the headliners. I mean, to see Justin Verlander and to a lesser degree Max Scherzer struggle at times and see, for months at a time, two Martinezes, Victor and JD, out-hit Miguel Cabrera, who's again been very productive, but by no means the whole show on this lineup and the post-Prince Fielder version with Ian Kinsler in front of those guys. Still scoring runs, still having the same closer problem, even though the cast in the bullpen changed. One of the strangest things that I read all year, Anthony, was about Justin Verlander for two innings in one start, breaking out Max Scherzer's windup. He was so confused and frustrated and willing to experiment that he went out and, according to Jason Beck's story, started using Max Scherzer's windup for a couple innings, and that blew me away. So it's great that we now have Jason Beck, MLB.com reporter, on the line. Jason, how weird was it to see Verlander using the Scherzer windup?
It's one of those things where if I wasn't there to watch it, I wouldn't have believed it when it happened. And then to see him, change back out of it after a couple innings, it really just, for somebody like Justin, who's so meticulous in everything he does and who's, almost obsessive about, just mechanics and techniques, it was really kind of a sign of just where his season had gone at that point. He seems to have abandoned it for good now.
Yeah, looking forward, what kind of a bounce back? I mean, it seems like it would be a no-brainer to expect Justin Verlander to bounce back from the bad first half he had and pitch like himself in the second half. Is that what you're expecting him to do?
Yeah, I think it depends on what type of Justin Verlander you expect. If you're looking for the 99, 100-mile-an-hour high strikeout guy, I think even the Tigers will tell you at this point, they don't expect that to happen. That guy, there's a decent chance that guy's gone for good. I think there's a bigger evolution going on right now with Justin and his game and, what he expects out of himself. I think he expects production, but it's going to be the route he takes to get there that's changing. I think that's been part of the process, as we've gone along this year, is that, he can still get strikeouts, but he's got to get him mixing his pitches and being a little bit more savvy out there. He's going to get productive innings and productive starts, but, he has to go in, with a game plan, keeping in mind of how to keep guys off balance. It's not just, my best stuff is better than whatever you can do to counteract it, no matter, whether it's coming or not. Those days are done. I think it's, we're going to see a little bit more, more veteran, I guess, wily veteran pitcher in Justin, I think, from now on. But I think especially for the second half, as he, goes through with some of these bigger picture adjustments mechanically and tries to, get that fastball command back.
Well, Jason, the guy who's used the Max Scherzer windup every inning this season is, of course, Max Scherzer. Had his own bumps in the road in certain starts, but on measure, still, still an all-star, still a deserving all-star, even amid a lot of stiff competition in the AL this season. When you look ahead to him for the second half, he's got so much riding on the season in general with the contract and turning down $144 million. Do you just see him maintaining that sort of Cy Young form and earning that kind of money when all is said and done?
I think Scherzer is in position for a pretty good second half, going, especially the stretch run. He had to work out some mechanical things, but beyond that, he had to kind of get, I don't know if swagger is the right word, but he had to kind of get that type of bravado back, where he was attacking hitters and not worrying about having to nibble on the corners. He says he got to a point where he was trying to be too precise in what he was doing, and he was falling behind in counts. He was walking too many guys, and he was running his pitch count up, which was kind of like a glimpse of 2010, 2011 Max Scherzer, maybe even the first half of 2012. What you're seeing now, I think, and what you're going to see down the stretch is the guy who's kind of going to go after hitters more. He's going to pound the strike zone. Not just with the fastball, but with pretty much everything he's got, and kind of dare guys to try to rough him up and see what they can do with his best stuff. It's all, in some ways, a little bit the opposite of what Verlander's been able to do this year. But I think it fits what he's got going on right now, and I think talking with him, he feels very comfortable about what he's got going on pitching wise going into the stretch run.
And Rick Porcello, what a revelation in the first half, a step forward. You saw the back-to-back complete game shutouts. This guy, he should be coming into his form, really, shouldn't he? He should be coming into his prime, and I think some people looked at it as a huge surprise, but given how the Tigers acquired Porcello by kind of overpaying to get him not to go to college, this is a real upside guy, don't you think?
Yeah, and the crazy thing is, what you have to keep in mind is that he's doing all this and he's still like 25 years old. He's not somebody who's going into like his late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah, you're right. It does seem like he's been around forever.
Yeah, I know people, especially, players who've been around the AL Central feel like, he's one of those, almost like one of those college athletes who's like fifth or sixth year senior, and you feel like you've seen him for like 10 years. But I think the important thing with him is that he's learned from all of this, and he's starting to put a lot of stuff into practice with the way he goes about pitching hitters. The sinker was in a stretch there around late June and into July where it had a ridiculous amount of movement. And, hitters were having a hard time, really squaring it up. And it was to the point where, I know I talked with Alex Avila after one start, and he said, they just got to the point where not only were they just pounding the hitters with sinkers, but he would just, put down his mitt, over in the middle of the strike zone and just let the pitch take his mitt wherever it wanted to go. And that was good enough. I don't think he's going to be able to do that on a regular basis. I think that pitch, especially when you rely on one pitch like that, can be a little dangerous, and it's got him into trouble at different points over his career. But the difference now is that he's got the secondary pitches to go with it, and where on games where that sinker is not working, or if it's not just not moving as much as he wants, he's got a changeup. He's got a very underrated curveball, and he's even got a slider cutter thing going on that he can get hitters out with. He's become a way more complete pitcher than he was even 2 years ago.
Let's shift gears a little bit and talk about the offense. Obviously, a big year for the Martinezes. JD, both were really surprised. JD, because he had no idea what the Tigers were getting from him, when they brought him in at the end of camp. And Victor, one of my all-time favorites, he's having a surprise season simply because you never could have expected this much power from a guy who's 35 years old. So, looking ahead, Jason, to these guys in the second half and really the staying power of J.D. Martinez's breakout and Victor's power, what are your anticipations?
Well, there's going to be two different factors that I think are going to be challenges for them going down the stretch. I think for Victor Martinez, the question is going to be health, and you kind of saw some flare-ups with that you know, as we got close to the All-Star break, with you know, his back was acting up, and it kept him out for a stretch. And you would think, or the expectation would be, that as the season goes on, somebody of his age, age 35, you know, stuff like that is going to come up, whether it's the back, whether it's you know, the knees, you know, if he takes an awkward slide, you know, anything like that, you know, especially with him, just anything lower body, I think you got to watch. But he's so focused as a hitter. I think if he's healthy, he should remain productive. I think Father Time is going to be the big challenge with him. You know, JD Martinez, I think everybody, to be honest, waits for hitters, or, you know, for pitchers to make adjustments and catch up, and for, you know, for him to come back to earth, and it hasn't happened. I think he's a smarter hitter than you know, we've all let on, and I think he's shown that. You know, he's a very aggressive hitter, and, you know, eventually at some point, you know, pitchers are going to use that against him, and he's going to have to adjust back and maybe take a little bit, you know, some more pitches than he's been doing so far. But you know, the power is there, and the scary part is the power goes to really all fields. So, you know, if he gets to a point where he's not necessarily pulling the ball as consistently as he was over the first half, he can still get the ball out. You know, this guy's got as much raw power as anybody on the team right now, you know, Cabrera included.
We've been asking an easy question so far, and we're about to have to let you go. So now I'm going to pull out the tough one for you to give us a breakout difference maker in the second half, maybe an under the radar guy that you think might step up and play a major role for the second half.
Breakout guy for the second half. You know, I'd want to say Cabrera. You know, he's bearing what he's shown the first half, but that seems too obvious. You know, I don't know if even Hannibal Sanchez qualifies, because when he's been healthy, he's been good. But I've thought for a while now that Anibal Sanchez is poised for a really good stretch. He's got to be able to get into that, you know, every fifth day rhythm, and really kind of be able to get into the same routine, not worry about blisters, not worry about, you know, sides or health or anything like that. But when he's had that chance, and it hasn't been often this year, He's looked just as dominant as he did at any point, I think, over the course of his Tigers career. You know, granted, we're only talking about a year and a half, 2 years now. But I think he's looked really, really good. And I think he's in a position where, if his health allows and if the schedule allows, he can get going. And I think if you get him going, then this Tigers rotation has a chance. You know, I think regardless of where Justin Verlander is from start to start, that rotation's got a chance to get into that role again, where it's cranking out one dominant start after another and really putting pressure on opposing teams to try to hold down that offense.
Yeah, definitely can definitely be a scary rotation when those guys are clicking. And one thing we haven't mentioned here is, as we do go ahead to the second half, is what is Dave Nombrotsky going to do you know, before the trade deadline? If I know him, I know he'll be aggressive, and I'm sure he'll try to add some pieces maybe to the bullpen, if nothing else. But with that said, I want to thank Jason Beck for coming on. This is Anthony Kastrovitz, and for Phil Rogers, this has been MLB.com Extras Detroit Tigers.